This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Scaredy Chat, the podcast where we talk about all of your childhood fears, plus some things that are scaring us today. I'm Caitlin Riley.
And I'm Monica Suriagi.
This week, Monica is interviewing the amazing John Laster. He is a comedian and also the creator of this super cool app called Blap, which helps people find Black-owned businesses. Anyway, guys, stay tuned for our conversation and have a very happy spooky season.
Caitlin, I've been seeing so many movies. Like, to the point, I'm getting to the point where, like, I've seen so many in such a small amount of time that it's making me, like, jittery. Like, Too many scary movies too fast. I can't like binge them, I'm realizing.
Well, it is spooky season, so if you're going to be seeing scary movies, I feel like this is the ideal time for that. But you said that this movie that you saw at Fantastic Fest, it actually seems like it has like a Christmassy title.
Yes. So why don't we,
yeah, let's chat about that one because I'm very curious.
Yes. So the film that I saw at Fantastic Fest is called Silent Night. It was the U.S. premiere of the film at the festival, and it was the closing film for the whole festival. Emo, calm down. My cat's freaking out.
Oh, my God. I am obsessed with Emo's little meow.
It's fine.
Meow is a meow. Emo is a black cat, which is, like, perfect for Halloween. So this is, like, very on theme. So all good, Emo.
Yes, this is his guest appearance. But, yes, the film... we saw the U.S. premiere of the film, last film of the festival. I had already seen some horrifically violent and fucked up movies by this point. So I was like, what is this one going to be? It was like 10 p.m. And I didn't know anything about the film other than that it is Christmassy, as you can tell from the title. So Silent Night starts with like very bougie British people all assembling for a Christmas party, and they're all dressed up. They're at this big like house in the country. And actually Annabelle Wallace is in it, and she has pulled a complete 180 from who she is in Malignant. Like in this movie, she's, oh my God. I feel like in Malignant, I couldn't see her. I keep saying that. I feel like I couldn't see her. Like,
interesting.
She was just like bangs.
Like she was just bangs, and her hair was actually kind of a big part of that movie when you think about it.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess if you've listened to our podcast for this many episodes, you probably have already heard us spoil Malignant. So, but yeah, when you said she pulled a 180, I was like, interesting, because that's kind of what you did in the movie. Fascinating. Anyway, please go on.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't even think about that. But yes, she pulls up 180 more literally and metaphorically, I guess. But she's like, she has long blonde hair that she has like back in a ponytail. She's like very like uppity rich lady in this one, like kind of out of touch with the reality, you know, and like she's wearing like a sequin dress the whole movie. And it's when I saw her, I was like, is that the same person from Malignant? Oh, my God. Because in Malignant, she's so just like sad. Her situation, the character,
the whole thing,
she's just like, Gabriel's in my head like the whole time. And then in this one, she's like, oh, hello darling, and like it's funny.
This woman does not have a parasitic twin in the back of her head. You just know. You don't see it, but you just know.
Yes. So, and also of course Keira Knightley is in it, and Lily Rose Depp is in it as well.
Oh, she's so pretty.
You know what? Her cheekbones are a little too intense for me. I'm going to be honest, but
I like the look. I'm like, she kind of feels like a very much like, you know, like a nepotism baby model. But like, what I mean that by like the combination of the features of like both her parents, like formed her, like almost like she was created by an AI scientist or something.
Yes. She feels auto-generated for sure.
Exactly.
But she's good in the movie. And it stars Roman Griffin Davis, who is the little boy from Jojo Rabbit. And it was directed by Camille Griffin, his mom. So I was like, oh, that's cute.
Wait, that's so cute.
Yeah.
That's so cute. I love that.
And it also had Kirby Howell-Baptiste, who I really like. Oh my God. I like her love. A lot.
Love.
Yeah.
Love.
I feel like she's having a moment because she's been popping up in so much stuff.
So many things. She and Veronica Mars, was that like the one thing that she was like a badass in season 4? I'm going to Google that.
I don't remember. I just know she was just in Cruella. And yeah, she's just been in a lot of stuff this year, I feel like. But yeah, so that's the cast. But basically, these are the various characters plus others. It's mostly couples and like their kids who are coming to this party. And the night starts off like a normal Christmas party. You know, like the kids are fighting with each other. The parents are like being a little bit fake, but like having fun. And the kids are like what, like 12 and under? There's also two twin boys who are maybe like 10 and another little girl who's maybe like 12. And they're all just like swearing, like adults, like swearing. And at one point the dad's like, you said we could swear because he doesn't like it. So you're like, that's weird. And then as the night progresses and they're partying, you realize that this is a very clever setup for an apocalypse movie. Yeah, so basically the world is ending. There are poisonous gases that, like, they're covering the earth. Most of the world is already dead, and it's, like, it's coming for England. You know, like, this is it. And they've calculated... Emo, I need you to not do this. They've calculated that the gases are coming the day after Christmas. So these... friends, the parents are friends from college that made a pact that they would bring their families together and spend their last Christmas together. And then wealthy, upper class, well-to-do British people have been given a pill called an exit pill that will kill you. And you're supposed to take it before the gas comes because it dissolves your organs and it's a very painful, violent death. So they've been given this pill as an exit option. I really liked it. I thought it was well done. It felt smart and contained. It really all takes place in this house.
Have you ever seen the Apocalypse movie? This is a movie that I think about all the time, but I have never met a single person who has watched it. We watched it in school when I was in, like, literally in seventh grade. But the movie is called Testament. And it's about basically there's a nuclear bomb that goes off in San Francisco. And it's about like the suburbs of San Francisco and basically a family who is living within outside of the blast radius, but within the radiation radius.
Is LeVar Burton in that?
You know, it's possible, but I do not remember because it has been burned in my brain for so long. But like, just like the smallest like scenes as opposed to like the whole film, because it's been literally over like more than 15 years. But it's a really, really good movie because it's very realistic. It's basically the apocalypse, I guess, because I don't know if it's just one bomb or if there are many bombs. It's basically like a slow version of the apocalypse where they are all suffering from radiation poisoning. There is nothing they can do. There's really no point in trying to fight it. So nobody is like, we have to go. We have to go get the antidote. Like, there's none of that. It's just sort of like slowly coming to this like horrible, horrible realization. It's like a very like dramatic, but like simple movie. It just all takes place in like this person's like house. And it's like the dad was in San Francisco, so they don't know if he's dead, but they're going to just assume he's dead. And you're just sort of like watching this whole family like fall apart and deal with it. And it's just the most scary thing ever. And I think that's why this movie probably, though I guess it's not a traditional horror movie, can fall under things that terrify us, because it's like, oh, we're just all accepting this fate. There's like nothing we can do other than just accept it. And isn't that like, it's both peaceful in some ways and also just absolutely horrifying. So far, it's Silent Night that you saw at Fantastic Fest that I want to see now. The Sadness, which I just saw pop up in my Twitter feed, and I saw a still from it that seemed absolutely horrifying.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. And then what is the other movie that you said? You said two more, I think.
The Exorcism of God, which, wow, yes. I still have trouble sleeping when I think about that. I'm like almost asleep, yep. And then Demon Jesus pops in my head.
Amazing. Amazing.
And another one that I really liked was She Will. Oh, sorry. The one I actually really liked was Saloom, that played with my short. But She Will was good as well.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Scaredy Chat. This is the reason you're here. Today, we are talking with New York comedian John Laster. You know him from Two Dope Queens, and he has a really cool app that you should have already downloaded by now. Everybody, John Laster.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. I'm excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited to talk too.
Well, I don't know how much in your career and performance you talk about childhood fears, but that's what it's all about today. So,
I had tons of them. I was a kind of scaredy cat kid.
Really?
Yeah, I think that I still am, but I'm tall enough and probably a big enough guy that most people, you know, don't try me, or I probably am able to fake it a lot better now.
I do kind of assume that taller people are less afraid because they have a higher vantage point, so they can see what's happening.
Yeah, and there's probably no truth to that, because I know a lot of my friends who are sizable who are equally scared of mice, roaches, the dark, scary noises. You know what I mean? There's some things we don't have to deal with, like maybe probably not as scared as like people on the train that are doing weird stuff, you know, because I'm probably not their first target, but other stuff, plenty scared of.
Yes. Well, you sent us a specific fear that I want to talk about, because we do talk about Stephen King a lot on this podcast and how he is the root of most people's childhood fears. So please tell me about the specific Stephen King story that scared you.
Yeah, when we were kids, I don't know how we ended up in this movie theater, like this basketball team that I was on, maybe middle school or something. And we go to see, sometimes when you go to these basketball tournaments, you go to like a little different town and you play all day and then you pile back up in cars to go home or whatever. And sometimes there's a lot of time in between the games. So we ended up watching Pet Sematary. And I remember everybody, you know, trying to be tough, right? We're guys, especially, and we're at that age, like, whatever, let's do it. And I remember the first time, like, something popped out of the ground. And now we're all in each other's arms in the middle of this aisle, screaming, right? But once it was, wasn't even supposed to be scary. Because you know how sometimes, like, you know, something scary happens and then it's like, oh, it's just the neighbor.
Right, you know? Like it's the fall. Oh, hey, didn't see you, Jim. You know, like
So it was one of those, hey, didn't see you, Jims. And then we just kind of backed out of the hug, like, oh.
Not yet, just kidding.
Yeah, like, oh, I wasn't hugging you, man. I was just making sure you was okay. You know? But we were, we were terrified. And I never, ever, ever went to a scary movie ever again.
Oh, no. It ruined the whole, like, scary movie theater experience for you.
That was the grand opening and grand closing.
No.
Yes. All in one scene.
I feel like that movie is terrifying, but I didn't see it as a kid. I saw it as an adult, and I'm able to forget about it because now the effects are outdated, you know? Yeah. So you can kind of like see through it and be like, oh, this looks like shit. Like it's not scary because it wouldn't look like that, you know?
Right.
But I watched the new one recently, and then that one's scary all over again because they just updated all the effects.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Do you remember any specific scenes from that movie that, like, this is it, I'm ruined from this scene?
I think that was a scene. There's something that pops out of a grave, I think it was. But to be honest with you, let me tell you what a coward I am. There was a lot of the movie after that I pretended to watch, but I just didn't even, I was just sitting there like this. You know, and then people would go, ah, and I go, ah.
But I'm not looking.
They would be like, because I was terrified after that, and I probably didn't sleep for like a month.
I don't blame you. I do the same thing. I'm like a horror filmmaker. That's like my thing. I make scary movies, and I still will go to the theater and like look at the ground and now actually watch what's happening.
Yeah, I feel like I've watched maybe some psycho like thrillers or maybe a scary movie. I feel like there was another scary. I think I watched The Exorcist or something, but I was with a girl who was just insanely into scary movies. And guys will do anything if you're on a date where you're trying to impress a girl, but it was during the day.
Okay.
So that's how she conned me into it, and I was still just mortified.
I think that's arguably a scarier movie than Pet Sematary.
Yeah. Well, it makes the brain, it stays in your brain a lot more. Because Pet Sematary is jumpy. You know what I mean? But The Exorcist has all types of, oh my God, like people really losing it.
Yeah, like that adult man voice coming out of a child.
Yes, yes, yes. It's way more, way creepier.
Yeah, that movie's messed up. And I've actually still only seen that movie in pieces because I can't watch the whole thing. So I've seen it in like 20-minute jumps.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's brutal. But I only did that during the day. And scary movies, I'm not doing it. Yeah.
Have you seen anything newer? I feel like there's this whole new wave of horror that's happening now where it's like a little more elevated, you know, and like intellectual.
I think the last scary thing that I watched on accident, because when you first start watching it, right? When you first start watching it, you don't realize that Blair Witch is going to be what it is. Right. So I think I kind of got hoodwinked into watching it because it was all this hype around it. But I thought the hype was about the reality TV part of it and didn't realize, and it sucked me in.
That's true, because I was like, look, this is the first movie that they're just using a VHS camera. And then
yes, like, and they spent $4 on it and it made $200 million.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a reason, because it's terrifying.
Yes, yes. And I got sucked into watching that. But for some reason, even though I was scared, it wasn't near as bad as the other two. But I wouldn't have watched it had I known it was going to be as scary as it was either.
Yeah, I think with that movie, it's like you're mostly watching them be scared, but you're not seeing the thing they're afraid of until the very end.
Yeah. It's kind of like these Ghost Hunters TV shows.
Yes. Would you ever go on one of those shows? Would you ever go ghost hunting?
Absolutely not. You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy is I never told anybody this either. I was actually asked to be the host. I was supposed to shoot a pilot, and it was called, It was called Drunk Ghost Hunters.
Oh my God.
And there was a deal on the table for it. My guy who worked there, he he called me in. We were about to do it. And then I was like, yo, you know, I'm not drinking. And it kind of unraveled after that. So then I ended up being like, yo, but don't let's not let it go down the tubes. I still think it's a good idea. So I bring in a bunch of my friends to audition for the role as the lead. And then it never really took flight.
Well, but you were this close to being a ghost hunter.
A drunk ghost hunter.
Even though you don't, but you didn't, you weren't like, were you excited about hunting ghosts? Or were you like, this is going to be the worst part of the job?
You know what? I was like, think about this. First of all, you got to think about this. Obviously, I stopped drinking, which means my drinking was bad. Right.
There must be a reason.
Yeah, there must be a reason. But the other thing was, I was thinking if I were going to do it, I would have been drunk anyway. So I would have been near scared. Do you know what I mean? Because you had to get drunk to do the show. So I would have been drunk and I'm with my boys, you know what I mean? And a camera crew. So that wouldn't have been near as terrifying, I don't think.
I feel like the ghost hunting shows I watch, they're like trying to scare each other and they're taking it very seriously. Like, you know, Ghost Adventures with, I couldn't tell you the name of anybody on that show, but they take it very seriously. And every little movement, every little sound is a ghost. And I'm like, no, it's not. You knocked that over. Like, it's not.
Those are your rusty boots you're wearing. What are you talking about? That's your leather jacket, dude. Stop it.
Exactly. Damn. Like, ew. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. But I do kind of think, do you believe in ghosts? Like, would it have been real for you on that show?
You know what? I wouldn't go so far as to say that I believe in ghosts, but I do believe that we don't know everything.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had a friend in high school who his mom, without us telling her stuff, she was very intuitive. Never understood it, but she really, really, really was intuitive. So I don't know what it was that she was able to pick up that that we never understood, but I know it was real.
I feel like my mom's the same way.
Okay. Yeah, my mom is not, but I mean, if you believe, you know what I mean. There's some stuff that there's no way they could know. And somehow they seemingly, some people are like that. So I'm not someone who believes necessarily in ghosts, but I'm not somebody who thinks that I'm so smart that it's out of the realm of possibility. Same way with aliens.
I was just going to say, that's how I feel about aliens, because I don't have any proof, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right. You know, and if there's some hundreds of billions of other things moving around in this solar, hundreds of, you're telling me nothing else out there is intelligent?
That'd be really sad.
That would be so sad.
Yeah. I'm like, I want aliens to exist, because if not, the expanse of the universe is honestly really pathetic.
So. Yeah. And I'm sure that there's tons of other life forms out there. You know what I mean? Does that mean that I think that Billy Bob was abducted? I don't know about that. it might have been a real live night on the town, partner, that you thought had something to do with aliens, you know, and your boys just left you up in a barn, you know? So I don't know that I believe every story, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I know that nowhere in those 400 billion other things out there, there's not somebody who can get here.
I know. And it's like, I would prefer they don't come. Like, you can stay over there, but it could happen.
Really? I would prefer that they did.
You'd want them to come?
Yo, if you can, check this out. Imagine, right? Imagine aliens come here, right? And they do something really, really scary. Mm-hmm. Right? So we're all watching TV. The TVs go out and then we watch them lift up the ocean.
Right? What?
And they spin it around and then they put it down. Everybody's panicking and then they leave. Imagine how relieved we would all be. We'd be like, you know what? We should probably get along this week.
Yes. That's true.
You know what? Yes. We should probably let some of that shit that we got going on, we should probably let that go, because this dude just picked up the ocean. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Or imagine they burned something that we thought couldn't be burned. we would be like, oh, you know what? And then they left. We would be like, oh, we should give each other our flowers right now, because if that guy comes back, he's going to burn everything.
So you know what I mean? You would like a scenario of like a flex. Like, I could vaporize you all.
Yes. I'd like a flex. Yeah. But you know what? But I got shit to do right now. So I'm going to head on out. But y'all better get it together.
What if they come back after that first time?
Oh, no. If they come back and do something terrible, yeah, that would be terrible. But I think a good flex, I think, would kind of put things in perspective. Sometimes when bad things happen to you, you're just like, oh, man, you know, I forgot that. I should be grateful. Yeah, my crib burned down. I had nothing left. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lost literally everything that I own.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine that happening.
Yeah,
how long ago was that?
Probably like 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, lost everything. But it puts things in perspective. It's like, you know what? I should be grateful.
Do you feel grateful now?
Yeah, it's kind of wearing off. I don't want another fire.
No. No. One is more than enough.
Yeah.
For a lifetime.
But an alien drop in, yeah, I think everybody would be like, yeah, we should chill with some of this foolishness.
Yeah, I'd probably be like, wow, we should really solve climate change today.
Yes, we should get it together.
Because they're coming back,
and they might not put the ocean down so gently.
Yeah, but you mentioned before that you had a lot of childhood fears. And I'm wondering if they are some of the classics, you know, like the dark, tornadoes, quicksand. But I would love to hear more about some of your other fears that are maybe not as movie related.
You know what? My fears, I think they were warranted. I know it's going to sound crazy. I'm originally from Denver, right? But I'm from the part of Denver that wasn't on the brochure. So it was some gangbangings, dope dealings, some whatever. And there were some scary things that happened when I was younger. So I remember like seeing shadows of people trying to break into our house, you know, of people like really trying to break in. And I could see, you know, I was a kid. You see grown men trying to break into your house, it's terrifying.
Yes.
And then the doorknob was like broken one morning where someone had tried to. So that was really scary. So that was the reason that I was scared of the dark. There used to be pit bull fights.
Wow.
There used to be pit bull fights. And I remember one time this guy, so the dogs are fighting and the chain yanks and the dog gets off the leash. Yes.
Oh, no. Yes.
And luckily, I was athletic even as a young dude. The dog comes running. And I get up the fence and over the fence So I was scared of dogs.
That dog would have ripped your face off.
I was scared of the dark. One night I was a high school All-American basketball player.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I'm not saying that to like, boom. I'm saying that to say that during the day, sometimes there were little kids in the neighborhood that knew. So they would come over there. Hey, you know, are you John Lasseter? Can I play with you for a while? You don't want to be the asshole guy. So I'd be like, yeah, you know, but I got to get some shots up. So let's get a couple shots up that I need to get back to work. But it got to a point where sometimes I couldn't play during the day for that reason. I needed to shoot. So I would shoot at night. And I would be shooting at night. And I remember my friend was there rebounding. He used to come over and rebound for me at night. And one time this car pulls up into the basketball court, turns the light off. And we was like, oh, that's, you know, JoJo and them. And, you know, we keep shooting. And then they start shooting. But a lot of people shot in our neighborhood. So it wasn't that big a deal. Until we saw a spark off of the pole.
Oh, at you. And,
yes. And then we were like, oh, it's that officer. Right, exactly. Then you were like, oh. And then took off. Yeah, like, oh, that was for me. So, yeah.
Why?
To walk around, on edge of a lot of things. Any arguments, I'd be out of there. And then at night, I was always, you know, like, kind of like traumatized, up listening for noises, you know?
That's
even
the worst.
If it wasn't the case.
That's the worst. Well, you've had, these are just three examples, I'm sure. I'm holding up four fingers. Three examples.
Three examples.
I'm sure there's more of you know, fear from just daily life.
Yes.
And then I think those things build together. And then when you are alone at night, you mush them all together. And it's like, now anything could be coming for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's taken a while for a lot of that to die down.
Did you have a nightlight?
You know what? I did. I used to sleep with a light on. I used to, yeah. So you would think, like I said, that, oh, people your size, whatever, but still have, you know, there's still the mind is tricky.
I also had a nightlight.
Yeah, yeah. I had a nightlight. And then there was a time I saw recently, I was like, oh, I would have loved that. There was this bed that had a nightlight that shot from underneath it.
Oh, that is nice. You can see it where the ground is.
Yes.
That's really nice.
The light shot down from underneath all the way around the bed. I was like, oh, I would have loved that.
Yes. Wow. Little kids everywhere don't have to be afraid of anything under the bed with that one.
Never. Yeah.
I was also worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Under the bed, that was never a thing for me.
Oh, okay. But yeah, you were the doors and the windows.
Yes. I was doors and windows, and every little creak was like, what's that? So yeah, some of that. And that probably contributes to not wanting to watch scary movies too. If you're really scared someone's going to break in.
Yeah, and especially, you know, that's a whole genre of horror, the break-in movie, you know?
Yes. And I will not watch those before I go to bed.
No, and they get really dark. Like The Strangers, that Liv Tyler movie, that's fucked up. And there's a movie actually coming out right now, Don't Breathe 2. The first one is like there's this guy who's blind. So these home invaders come to rob him because they're like, oh, this guy's blind. We can take him really easily. And they're very wrong. He's very violent.
I like that.
Yeah, and he fucks all of them.
I like that, though.
Yeah, maybe you should watch Don't Breathe, then, because that's like a...
That's my kind of movie.
Yeah, you should watch that one, then. You probably like that one.
I like that premise. Yeah. I'll watch it during the day, though.
Yes, it is super... He destroys these people. Like, it's very violent, but... But he's in the right because they broke into his house. So
yeah, I'll check that out, but I'll watch it during the day.
Yes. I when I watched Pet Sematary, the new one, I watched it during the day because I was like, I can't watch movies by myself and horror movies by myself at night. I can't do that.
It's not a good look. Yeah. It's not a good look.
Well, maybe if you watch Don't Breathe and you like it, then you could like ease into some other ones like a little bit.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Because I was scared of, heights.
Really?
Oh, not scared of, you know what's so crazy is I think it's weird too. Because I would rather jump out of a plane and skydive than walk to the edge of a building.
Really? What's the difference there in your brain? You don't... Well, we have a game that we like to play with everybody. It's called Chill or Chilling. Chill is like, oh, yeah, cool. I would do that. Or chilling, where it's like, too scary. I will not do that. And then we talk about why. And we run made-up scenarios.
Okay, cool.
Our first one is spending a night in a haunted house. Chill or chilling?
Chilling.
Yes, based on this conversation.
Absolutely chilling.
So you're not very, I don't want to make any general sweeping generalizations, but as I've noticed, most Black people are not super into supernatural, occult type stuff for good reason.
Very, very true.
Like when I watch Pet Sematary, as much as I like that movie, it is white nonsense. Like if someone tells me not to bury something here, I'm not going to do it.
Just don't do that.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. Yeah. There's a reason they took the time to tell you that.
Yeah, and there's like a huge wooden barrier around it. Like, don't do it.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, I think. this next one, which is kind of like COVID reminiscent, probably. Not doing comedy for a year.
Chill. Oh, chill. Yo, you know what's so sad? You know that as soon as the COVID thing hit, there was like a million people doing lives You know, everyone's doing a live, everyone's doing a podcast, everyone's doing something. And people were like, dude, you're one of the most working comedians in all of comedy. Clearly, you, of all people, have got to be traumatized by this. And I was like, no. Actually, I'm not. I'm watching space documentaries. Yeah. And Tiger King.
Yes.
Yeah. So, no. We work like a lot. You know what I mean? I'm on stage. I've been on the stage every night, like for a decade. Like, it was chill.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad it was a nice break for you.
Really nice break. And you didn't have to feel like something was going on without you because everyone was on break. You didn't even have to feel, because oftentimes part of the break is, oh my God, people are going to get ahead of me. You didn't even have to worry about that.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, I even feel like sometimes like, oh, I can't, because I'm like at the beginning, you know, of my whatever. And I'm like, I can't take time off now. Like,
yes. Yes. So that whole like rat race feeling it was gone. So I didn't even have to worry about, oh, is somebody, da-da-da-da-da? Nope. Everyone's at home.
Wow. That is kind of a nice way to think about it. This next one is redoing high school with your current adult brain. Chill or chilling?
Chilling.
You're like, no.
No. I mean, that sounds exhausting. Oh, yeah. That's chilling. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Because there's so many... all of the things that you think could go right, you're also opening the door for a lot of things to go wrong.
That's true. You think, in theory, like, oh, it'll be so much better because I can make better choices, but not necessarily.
Yeah. It's almost like you watch, we watch sports every year, you know, like as a ball player and people are like, oh, da-da-da has the best team. And I'm like, do you know like how far away you are from a championship just because you have the best team on paper? You know, there's so many things that have to go right. So yeah, to go all the way back to high school, you're opening up Pandora's box for, yeah. Be careful what you wish for. That sounds chilly.
A lot of people say chill to that one. They're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Like, sure. But you got to think. I know this is going to sound really cocky or whatever. I was the dude already.
Yes. Oh, you that's cool. Mean? Yeah.
I had my chance as the Pharaoh. I was the, my girlfriend was Miss Black Colorado. I was the prom king. I was captain of the basketball team. I did the thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I know there's other people that's like, I'd like to go back and have those accolades. Been there, done that.
Yes.
I'll quit while I'm ahead.
I love that. Yeah, you're like, well, it was already as good as it was going to be. So John, as we wrap up here, can you let people know where they can find you on socials and stuff?
At He Was Funny. Everybody knows how to spell He Was Funny. But I would also encourage them to go to Blap the app. That's where you can download the app or the App Store, the Play Store. Some people ask me, hey, is it also on Android? I know Clubhouse did that foolishness, but yeah, App Store, Play Store. And we need to do that. You know, 45, I think it's all the way up to 45% of Black-owned businesses went under during the pandemic. Yes, 40. So, you know, I mean, can you imagine if any other group went under 45%.
Yeah, the economy would collapse. Like,
it would be mayhem, right? So yeah, 45%. And this guy asked me, he was like, yo, in a meeting where they assess your app, he was like, yeah, I'm not a fan of Black Lives Matter. He was going to put some money up. This Trump supporter, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I don't even see why you made this app. I swear to God, he's saying this right in my face. And I was like, well, you know, over 40, at the time it was 42%. Over 42% of Black-owned businesses went under during the pandemic. And instead of complaining and whining about it, I decided to do something about it. And even he was like, okay. Even right. He sat there like 40 something percent. He was like, you know what, bro? You got me.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The stats don't lie, I guess, with that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's brutal. But But yeah, this will help a great deal. Mm-hmm. A great deal.
Well, you heard it, everybody. Download Blap as soon as it's available and post that you did.
Yes. Download it now.
Yes.
Right now. And share it with 10 friends.
Yes. It's very easy to do. John, thank you for coming on today. This was really fun and you're hilarious and it was fun to hear about your fears.
Oh, thank you. It was fun to regurgitate them with a ring light on instead of in the dark. I have no fear sitting here, so this was good.
Amazing. This was good.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on Scaredy Chat. We hope you were a little scared and maybe a little relieved about your fears. And if you're having fun listening to this podcast, please rate and review and subscribe so you never miss it and you're ready with us every week. And hey, make sure you follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at scaredychat_podcast. And maybe you have a fear and you're wondering if other people are afraid of it too? Well, we probably are, but you should email us your fears at story@scaredychatpod.com and maybe we'll talk about it on the show. Till next time, scaredy cats. Bye! Scaredy Chat was developed and hosted by Caitlin Riley and Monica Moore Suriyagi, produced by Jeff Swimmer, editing and sound design by Fitz Harris, theme music by Eric Fashingbauer with samples by Jeff Zahn and Jack Lenz, and Gail Gilman is the executive producer.